Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We've got to have a serious conversation about that. Obviously, there's been water resource mismanagement, forest management mistakes, all sorts of problems. And it does come down to leadership. And it appears to us that state and local leaders were derelict in their duty in many respects. So that's something that has to be factored in. I think there should probably be conditions on that date. That's my personal view. We'll see what the consensus is. I haven't had a chance to socialize that with any of the members over the weekend because we've all been very busy, but it'll be part of the discussion for sure.
Mike Johnson, there, the speaker, talking about resources for California. And is there any doubt the government's going to provide resources? The question is, who's held accountable ultimately for the piss-poor response in California? I think that's a fair question. It is a fair question. It's not politicizing. I mean, look what the Democrats did during Katrina to George W. Bush. Even though all of the resources have been moved into place, and we find out after the fact that it was the mayor of New Orleans that prevented earlier access to help people when the Superdome was being flooded and all that stuff, right? The immediate reaction after one of these things is to look at, well, who's responsible for the fact that this didn't go better? In this case, you can't get around the fact, as he's alluding to there, that there's poor forest management and poor water management. And in case you hadn't heard, this is a Janice woman who runs the water department in L.A., makes $750,000 a year. That's her salary. So I hear Joe Biden say the other day, we're gonna cover all of your expenses for this initial reaction to this fire.
6 months?
So I'm thinking, does that mean he's paying the $500,000 salary to the fire chief in L.A., which is a city job, let the city pay her? Are they paying the water department lady's salary for 6 months, who couldn't keep the reservoirs full?
How does
Isn't
he get
there
to
an ocean right there? Like I heard the other day that the Canadians are bringing in equipment that can scoop water out of the ocean and dump it on these flames. Why do we have to wait for the Canadians to do that? Why don't we have that technology? Mm-hmm.
And then we hit one with a drone.
We hit what with a drone?
There was a drone hobbyist who was flying a drone too closely to one of those planes that was scooping water from the ocean to drop it on the flames, and the plane had to be grounded because of some idiot.
Yeah.
And there was an FAA no-fly zone for drones in that area.
How can Biden even say the whole six-month thing when he's only going to be in office for like 20 days?
Well, again, he's trying to commit Donald Trump to it. By doing what he's doing, he's trying to suggest that Trump would have to continue that. You know, Jennings is surrounded by the left on CNN, but he's pointing out some of the real common sense questions that Californians need to be asking of their elected officials. I mean, Tommy Tuberville was more direct with it. He's like, if these idiots keep electing the same people, we don't owe them anything. Jennings was a little more diplomatic.
It's about what your focus is. I mean, the reason people in California are unhappy is because the priorities over the last few years, over the last few decades, maybe in California, maybe haven't been on just competent governance. I mean, Democrats run everything out there. Mistakes were obviously made in water resource management. Mistakes were made in forest management. Mistakes were made in maybe budget cuts on the fire department. And so there is a question about, did we vote for people who know what they're doing? And so it's not about making it partisan. It's about making it competent. And I do think if I lived out there, I'd be asking myself, are competent people in charge? Because right now,
right now, it really doesn't seem like it. The publisher of the LA Times came out and apologized for endorsing Karen Bass for mayor.
Wow.
Over the other guy who was running, who seemed to be a little better manager of resources.
Yeah, he's been very outspoken, that guy.
Didn't he save his own house? Didn't he have a private fire department?
That sounds right. I just know he's been very outspoken talking about mismanagement. Yeah. There's been a mass exodus from California. A lot of people going to Florida, Texas. How many people are going to say, you know what? I'm not even going to rebuild in California. I'm just getting out.
Here's the scary thing. I saw somebody, you know, if you go on Zillow and you look at a neighborhood, it will show you there's estimated prices of these homes. I don't know how accurate they are. But they showed one of these neighborhoods that was all empty because all the houses have been burned. And it showed the value of those with a home on it, obviously, at $5, $6, $7 million for these tiny little slivers of lots in Pacific Palisades. And all of the homes are gone. Just gone.
I'm looking at a home right now on Zillow, Pacific Palisades, for just shy of $37 million.
Carl, can we blow out the bottom of the hour here?
Yeah, we're going to do that.
All right, we're going to do that. We're going to get to our buddy Griff Jenkins real quick because he's live out there this morning and was on another report and just now got to us. Griff, how are you? Griff, can you hear me? Carl, why am I not hearing him here?
I don't know why we can't hear him.
Griff, are you there? I can see him, but I can't hear him.
I don't hear him either.
Hmm.
Let me see. Let me try something else, but
right.
I don't think
Hang
that's
on.
It.
No.
We had lamping on.
Nope.
Oh, he's gone.
It's possible.
He's in California.
He's in Pacific
Malibu.
Palisades or where?
I think he's in Malibu.
Malibu. And I'm sure that they're probably having a lot of problems with the cell phone coverage out there. Griff, are you there?
Yes, yeah, sorry about that, Mark. Good morning. And, you know, the connections are spotty out here. I'm in Malibu, and you guys were talking about the homes you were seeing. Like, I've never seen the devastation. You know, it looks where we are for miles along the historic, you know, iconic Malibu Pacific Coast Highway, just home after home after home. It looks like a bomb fell. I mean, I've seen things that look like this in places like Baghdad, in Kyiv, Ukraine. And it's just something, and what's crazy is that they are in, the National Weather Service says we are actually now in window of this PDS, particularly dangerous situation, red flag warning window, which is going to extend till Wednesday evening, where it's the most extreme warning they can issue for fire conditions, which is what happens when you have three criteria meet. Extreme winds, which are expected to be 70 miles an hour plus today, dry vegetation, which is because they haven't had rain for months on end, and the low humidity, which is what they're in right now, and like the teens and even in the single digits in some areas, and that's a recipe for disaster. You saw already they're battling about an hour north of where I am in Miami, up in Ventura County. They're battling a new fire, the Auto Fire, and they're registering already a wind gust at 72 miles an hour up there. So it's just unthinkable to be standing literally as I am right now in the middle of rubble in Malibu, thinking that they may get yet another day of this sort of destruction.
It's pretty amazing. And there's no air support at that point, right? If you've got 60 mile an hour winds, they can't fly helicopters.
That's right. That's right. They cannot fly. I mean, we're seeing on the video from that auto fire up in Ventura, the helicopters dropping water on a brush fire. Unfortunately, by the way, that's in a Santa Clara riverbed, so it's not in a densely populated area. They were able to get it down. But if the winds pick up and start sustaining at that level, as you know, 60, 70 miles an hour, they're not going to be able to put anything in the sky. And by the way, They're having to deal with drones. I've been reporting on that. The FBI is beside themselves, Mark. They told me yesterday that they are seeing 20 to 30 unauthorized drones in these extreme firefighting areas. And it's unthinkable that people would think that that's a good idea. But the FBI still hadn't caught that one drone operator that downed that Super Scooper last week that impeded literally saving homes and potentially lives.
I saw some homeless guy was arrested, suspected of arson, and I don't know that it ties into any of the big fires we've been hearing about. Are you hearing that, too, that there are people who are intentionally setting these fires?
Well, we don't know, Kevin. It's a great question. I think, you know, everyone wants to know, why did the Palisades fire start? Because it was obviously the biggest one. It's only still now 14% contained. So people are bracing here where we are because Palisades fire is what caused the fire in Malibu. We don't know. Was it arson? There was an individual arrested with a blowtorch, but he wasn't. It was really a propane torch. He was not charged with that. So we don't know where that goes. But one of the theories, one of the working theories, is that in a lot of the trails, mountain trails and hill trails, you do have a number of homeless people that live there that light fires to keep themselves warm, particularly at night. I mean, I'm standing by the ocean. It's pretty chilly here. Now, the sun will come up and it'll be nice by midday, but there's always a chance that, you know, someone unintentionally lit a fire that started, you know, the Palisades fire. But it's just one of the working theories. But the biggest challenge right now is the embers that are still going from these little brush fires that are breaking out. Because if you had these high winds, I had an LA fire department captain tell me a day ago, he said, look, you have to understand how dangerous this is. If one little ember picks up in a 70, 80 mile an hour wind, it can travel up to a mile to 2 miles, and the chances of it hitting dry brush and igniting a new fire is about 65%.
Wow. It's just unimaginable. I hope they get a little bit of relief there. It doesn't sound like that's coming. Griff, thank you for breaking in and giving us a few minutes this morning.
You bet, guys. I'll keep you posted, too, throughout the week. Hopefully we're not in for another day of it, but you've seen what it can do.
Yes, sir.
And God forbid it happens again.
All right. We'll talk soon. Griff Jenkins live in Malibu, California this morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.